Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2001. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number two, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program.
This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. How rich are you? Are your wealth, your sense of success and abundance centered around things, material possessions, net worth? If so, you are poor in spirit. For all the riches are not in gold, or titles, or stories of glamour retold. Nor are portfolios or technology the wealth you may seek. Your health, the love shared, your creativity and gifts is what I speak. The treasures may be buried, but not in the ground. Look inside, open to transformation. And your golden self will be found. I am filled with joy as I am one with the Christ. I am His shining shield of dazzling white. I am His fiery core of blazing light. I am the constant source of all my needs. I am understanding, planting God's pure seed. I am the balance of His will and power. I am shining brightly every hour. I am the love for which His children sigh. I am the reality for which they cry. I am resurrected by His sweet song. I am oneness with His presence all day long. I am the seamless garment, pure as snow. I am the bearer of His word, where'er I go. I am health and abundance by God's own word. I am speaking words of truth to be well heard. I am joy, the strong but gentle, loving dove. I am winging my way homeward, up, up, above.
One time about the journey we must make, moving forward, never sure what path we're meant to take. For some this life holds meaning, and for others there is none. But when it rains we all get wet, no matter what we've done. We go riding in the storm, riding in the storm, as we live and die, and time goes by, we wonder why we're born, we're just riding in the storm, riding in the storm, there's no turning back, the sky is black. Waiting for the dawn, we go on. Well, when I think I have you, you slip melting through my hands. I'm still hurting, ever searching, help me understand. I'll have to let go. dark clouds clear will disappear, and sunlight fills the dawn, we'll go on.
Probably read about feng shui, taken workshops, pushed and shoved your furniture into their ideal positions, and hung crystals and wind chimes around your home. And you may wonder, what else can I do? Are there other ways you can bring sacredness into your home and improve its quality of energy? Fortunately, there are many simple ways to further enhance and maintain positive energy in your home. The simplest technique, and possibly the most beneficial for everyone, is to dig through your cupboards, gather all the household cleaners containing environmental toxins, which is about everything on the general market, and replace them with non-toxic cleaners. Switching to non-toxic cleaners may sound difficult and time-consuming, but really it's not. There are several non-toxic cleaners available at health food stores, and several you can make from ordinary cooking ingredients such as baking soda and vinegar. Just think, you could put on your mad scientist cap and play chemist for a while. But how does using non-toxic cleaners stimulate positive energy in your home? Well, whether you consciously think about how toxic cleaners contaminate your health and environment, You know subconsciously that you're polluting yourself and Mother Earth every time you use them. Therefore, by switching to non-toxic cleaners, you can eliminate negative subconscious messages that poison the energy in your home. So, do non-toxic cleaners really work? Are they expensive? Based on the professional and personal experience of Jennifer Walter, they are not generally more expensive, and yes, they do work. In her experience, using non-toxic cleaners will make your home sparkle and feel lighter. Furthermore, just knowing you're taking action to promote a healthy body and environment can give you a sense of well-being. It really works. Try it and see. Another simple method to enhance the sacredness of your home is to impart blessings while you clean. Everything around us is alive with energy. The wood floors, the furniture, the knickknacks. Each item in our home carries with it the energy of its original source, its maker, and every person who has touched it since its creation. So when you polish your wood furniture, think of the trees that once stood as living creatures and bless them for their sacrifice. When you make your bed, thank it for the comfort and rest it gives you every night. Be thankful for what you have, and as you clean, bless each item for the joy or usefulness it brings you. On the flip side, getting rid of objects that evoke negative feelings or are no longer useful can release you from the past, improve your self-esteem, and make space for new objects that have positive associations. Clearing negative clutter in conjunction with imparting blessings can provide you with a sense of gratitude and teach you to live fully in the present. So, is there a fun way to bring more sacredness into your home? Well, yes, it's called aromatherapy, and is a healing art that has been around for centuries. Essential oils in your favorite fragrances can be purchased at health food stores, metaphysical bookstores, and gift shops. Each essential has different healing properties. For example, lavender can calm and relax you, and is known for its antiseptic qualities. Others are jasmine, which fosters spiritual love, rose, which is emotionally soothing, and vanilla, which promotes passion for those special nights and your loved one. There are dozens of essential oils available and much to learn about their properties. But for the purpose of enhancing the energy in your home, simply choosing fragrances pleasing to you is all that's necessary. How to use the essential oils. One way is to fill an atomizer with spring water, add a few drops of your favorite essential oil, and mist the combination around the room. When using the oils in this way, not only will you benefit with the oil's fragrance, but misting water in a room promotes a negative ion atmosphere, which fosters health and well-being. The disadvantages of misting is that the aroma is relatively short-lived as compared to other methods of dispersion, such as using a diffuser. Diffusers use heat, generally from a candle or from electricity. However, when using this method, be careful not to leave your diffuser plugged in overnight or leave candles unattended. The benefits of aromatherapy are well documented, and when used in your home, can promote well-being and positive energy. While aromatherapy, imparting blessings while you clean, and using non-toxic cleaners are wonderful ways to bring more sacredness into your home, none of these methods will be effective if you neglect one of the most basic tenets of feng shui, keeping your home clean and clutter-free. Dirt and clutter dramatically lowers the quality of energy in your home, as well as the quality of your physical and emotional health. If you find yourself struggling to keep a clean and clutter-free home, you may consider how to balance your time more effectively so that maintaining a clean home becomes a joyful act of self-love instead of a chore. or you may want to enlist the aid of your family or an outside cleaning service. In any case, explore. Use your imagination. You'll find ways to create and enhance the energy in your home. And when you do, you'll find your life equally enhanced and balanced.
Felt his soul move through me. I was safe from sound. Branches on the window couldn't hurt me now. And when the night came with a childhood fear, so moved through me, he disappeared. I felt his soul move through me as I stepped from the tree, here to make a new life, a star. Me, winter kept me here. His soul moves through me. Time disappears. I felt his soul. Somewhere in the sky, too late I landed.
Here are some lessons from Noah. Don't miss the boat. Try to remember that we're all in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, you know. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone might ask you to do something really big. Don't listen to critics. Just get on with what has to be done. Build your future on high ground. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. Two heads are better than one. Speed isn't always an advantage. After all, the snails were on board with the cheetahs. When you're stressed, try floating a while. Remember that the ark was built by amateurs. It was the Titanic that was built by professionals. Remember that woodpeckers inside are a larger threat than storms outside. No matter what the difficulty, trust in the divine power. There will be a rainbow at the end of the storm.
Were scattered like dust whenever they took a stand. Now these are people who knew the seasons and the song of every stream, how to use the plants for medicine, when to listen to their dreams. To them, that great spirit wasn't something out of far. It was part of animal, man, and rocks, every river and every star. Medicine bowl, covered in snow, still a thousand miles to go. And so the red ones told the white ones, anytime you must decide, better take into consideration at least 7 generations. But the white ones laughed at the red ones, saying you got the wrong information. This land is God's abundance, and it's all here for the taking. So the white ones built their cities, drilling the holes to drain the ore, killing animals just for sport, leaving them on the plains to spoil. While the red ones built small fires and huddled close around, the white ones' fires roared so loud the whole world feared the sound. Medicine bowl, covered in snow, still a thousand miles to go. Medicine bowl, covered in snow. Struggle came down between them, it was easy to see who'd win. The white ones had the thunder sticks, the red ones had their skin. And then the Union Pacific Railroad came, laying tracks across the land. And anybody who dared get in the way felt the great white father's hand. Connecting cities to every corner of this nation. But most still roll right on past those forgotten reservations. Until the government comes to strip away the mineral foundation to feed the greed and ravenous rage of an industrial civilization. Now Leif Erikson was here before Columbus, and Cortez followed after. But the ones here first who greeted them all were the people who walked the connection. With no thought of conquering a wild land or hauling away its treasure, these people made peace with the land and the water, the fire and the four directions. Medicine Bow, covered in snow, still a long, hard way to go. Medicine Bow, covered in snow. Beneath the cold white blanket on a blood-soaked land, Medicine Bow crumbled in our
Your diamonds are not in the far distant mountains or in yonder seas. They are in your own backyard, if you but dig for them, by Russell Conwell. Few motivational talks have influenced or inspired as many people as the famous Victorian lecture that was known as Acres of Diamonds. Russell H. Conwell, a former newspaper correspondent and minister, delivered his speech more than 6,000 times between 1877 and 1925. When it was published, it became an immediate bestseller and a classic in inspirational literature. The story Conwell told in his lecture had enormous appeal. It recounted the life of a Persian farmer named Ali Hafed, who sold his farm and left his family to travel the world in search of wealth. He looked everywhere, but he could not find the diamonds he lusted after. Finally, alone and in despair as a homeless pauper, he ended his own life. His search for riches had consumed him. In the meantime, the man who bought the land from Hafed was grateful for every blade of grass that was now his, and lavished love and hard work on his farm. At night, surrounded by his family and eating the fruits of his labor, he was a contented man. Finally, one day, he made a remarkable discovery. In the backyard that Ali Hafed had abandoned was a diamond mine, literally an acre of diamonds. The simple farmer became wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. Conwell used this parable to illustrate an extraordinary and wonderful message: within each of us lies a wellspring of abundance and the seeds of opportunity. For each of us, there is a deeply personal dream waiting to be discovered and fulfilled. When we cherish our dream and then invest love, creative energy, perseverance, and passion in ourselves, we will achieve an authentic success. Where is your acre of diamonds? If you could do anything in the world, what would it be? Yes, that very thing right now that you believe is impossible. Would you open a store, nurture a family, design a dress, write a screenplay? We all have an acre of diamonds waiting to be discovered, cherished, and mined. We all have a place from where to begin. Let your imagination soar, for it is your soul's blueprint for success. On the Simple Abundance Path, you will discover that your own opportunity for personal success, authentic happiness, and financial serenity is as close as your own backyard. Gift from the sea. When you love someone, you do not love him or her in exactly the same way from moment to moment. It is an impossibility, and yet this is exactly what most of us demand. We have so little faith in the ebb and flow of life, of love, of relationships. We leap at the flow of the tide and resist in terror its ebb. We are afraid it will never return. We insist on permanency, on continuity, when the only continuity possible is in growth, in freedom, in the sense that the dancers are free, barely touching as they pass, but partners in the same patterns. The only real security in a relationship lies neither in looking back in nostalgia, nor forward in dread or anticipation, but living in the present relationship and accepting it as it is now. By Anne Morrow Lindbergh.
Down, step into the water. not past my fear. My body glides in fluid grace, a mermaid in this inland sea. I swim back over years and years as I move with strength and ease. Step into the water, feel the current swirling round. Step into the water, feel the power nearly pull me down. Step into the water, feel the river running strong. Let the waters bring me home, where I belong. Oh, let the waters bring me home, where I
cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration. Soften the ground of our being and carve out a space within us where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance with our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny that bind us as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which would divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth power and fulfillment, as all is gathered and made whole once again. That was the direct translation of Aramaic into a prayer commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. Courage expands with use. It isn't something you can put upon the shelf and keep it in stock against a rainy day. If you don't use it, it atrophies with neglect. But it is also true that we are stronger than we think. A man once told me about two sisters whom he knew very well because he was in love with the beautiful one and had tried unsuccessfully to win her over the span of several years. Marilyn had a sister who always envied her, he said, choosing his words with care, and thought of herself as second best. After all, Marilyn's beauty provided her with opportunities the sister never had. And when I pressed him to explain what kind of opportunities he meant, he answered with an ironic smile, "Well, Marilyn has had the opportunity to be carried off by an infinite number of con men, and the sister, having none, married a very nice accountant who loves her to this day." I remember how surprised I was when he ended his story that way, surprised and a little startled to realize that it wasn't the pretty one who held all the cards, but the one who didn't know she did. So few of us really recognize what our assets are, or even what they are not. And too often, we want what we haven't got, and fail to see what we have. And many of us impoverish our lives by failing to recognize that our resources are greater than we think. To live in conscious union with God draws to us all that is necessary to fulfill our experiences, as long as we do not outline what that experience is to be, or desire it to unfold in some particular way. That union with God, acting through us, forces us into the particular activity that will be of the greatest service to others and brings the greatest fulfillment to us. Our conscious oneness with God constitutes our oneness with every spiritual idea and every form of life. Behind every form of nature, there is spiritual life. And when we are consciously one with God, we are consciously and instantaneously one with the life of every plant and animal, not with their physical life, but with their spiritual life. As long as they are a part of our consciousness, they will partake of our consciousness, and our consciousness of truth will be their resurrected and renewed life. Our consciousness of God becomes the consciousness of our patients and students. As long as they are in our consciousness, they are partaking of our understanding. They are eating of the bread, meat, wine, and water, which is our realized consciousness of truth. And our consciousness of our oneness with God becomes a law of harmony unto them. Integrate your consciousness into divine oneness. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.